From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
It feels personal, as if it actually happened to you. And you know details. These type of premonitions and things are like a tracing paper. You know you got it right because when you put it on top, it's exactly there. And it's real.
There's a two-story brick building in an office park in Durham, North Carolina. In it is the Rhine Research Center. The Rhine Research Center sits just off the campus of Duke University. And if you ask people why the Rhine Center is at an office park rather than inside the university, you'll get different answers. My colleagues at Duke say that it's there off campus because what goes on at the Rhine Center isn't really science. They say that the Rhine Center's hocus-pocus research has no place at Duke. But the Rhine researchers say something different. They say that they were the victims of a shift in public perception, a PR campaign waged by skeptics of their work, who tarnished their name and ignored their research, their science.
We're talking about telepathy, mind-to-mind communication. We're talking about clairvoyance, which is getting information about objects from a distance. Precognition, getting information through time, typically from the future. Psychokinesis, having an effect on physical objects from a distance, whether it be large objects, like when we're saying large, like a pencil or a ball, or micro objects, which might be electrons.
Hello, you have reached the Rhine Research Center in Durham, North Carolina. Our hours of operation are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., or by appointment. If you are calling to report an experience, please go to our website, www.rhine.org, and see Report an Experience at the bottom of the page. Thank you.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
You think you know everything like you got a crystal ball.
The podcast about...
The unknown.
You know, one of the first things I try to let people know is we don't study UFOs and aliens. A lot of people think we do. I'm John G. Kruth. I'm the executive director of the Rhine Research Center. A lot of people think we study Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster. Those are not part of parapsychology either. A lot of people look at the ghost hunting shows that are on TV and say, oh, wow, that's what parapsychologists do. In fact, many of the ghost hunters call themselves parapsychologists. But none of those things are related to parapsychology. Parapsychology is essentially the study of five very specific phenomena, one of them being telepathy, or mind-to-mind communication. A second one being clairvoyance, which is getting information about objects. Remote viewing is a form of clairvoyance. A third area is precognition, which is getting information through time. A fourth area is psychokinesis, or PK. Psychokinesis is mind-matter interaction. A fifth area of study in parapsychology is survival studies. In survival studies, we're looking at anything that has to do with the survival of consciousness, personality, the soul, outside of the physical body, anything that demonstrates that existence. So all of these things are, this is specifically what we study in parapsychology.
It was Joseph Banks Rhine who founded the original lab at Duke University. J.B. Rhine was a botanist who became obsessed with the study of psychics, or a phenomenon he later called ESP, or extrasensory perception. In the 1930s, he convinced Duke to give him money and facilities to look for evidence of ESP. And he thought he found it. By the 1960s, J.B. Rhine hit retirement age, and Duke cut the funding. the lab had to move off campus.
The question often comes up, is ESP real? The answer that most parapsychologists will give you is ESP happens. We observe it in the lab. Now, what does that mean? It means there is a phenomena that occurs that we have no physical explanation for. If these things are occurring and we are observing them in the lab regularly, this has a very substantial effect on all of science. Science has been based on materialism, and now we're talking about something that doesn't seem to have a material effect. It's something that's very difficult for some scientists to accept, but it's also something that has a tremendous impact on all of our understanding of the world. This is revolutionary.
The study of ESP has gone through ebbs and flows in mainstream academia. Other university labs like Rhine pop up periodically and disappear. These labs suffer from a constant battle for funding and legitimacy within science. But Rhine has held on for these last 80 years, and they still have half a dozen researchers working on parapsychological phenomena. They publish papers in their own journal where they study volunteer participants, some of whom the studies claim have documentable ESP abilities. So I asked the Rhine Center if I could talk to one of their subjects, and they sent me to a local activist and performer named Anita Woodley. Tell me when you first suspected you had some abilities.
I would say it was when I was 2 or 3 years old. I told my great-grandma one time that there's this guy that comes out of this army picture in the room I was in. And she said, oh, yeah, he visits all the time. And I'm like, you see him too? And she's like, yeah, this is just normal. We have this gift in this family. That's just God showing us all the stuff other people can't see. And so she was very religious, and that's how I looked at it. When I was in high school, it started happening again where I can know things and see things. And in our neighborhood, it was very impoverished, a lot of drug dealers, a lot of shootings and killings. And I would get paid to tell people what was going to happen next. Word got around in the neighborhood. There's this 8-year-old girl in apartment 2 that knows a lot of stuff. And if you talk to her, stuff comes true. So just imagine drug dealers paying me. These are the biggest, baddest dudes coming to my house and knock on the door. Miss Mabel, can I speak to little Miss Anita? Uh-huh. They come in my bedroom. My mom leaves the door open and I sit there on my bed playing with my dolls and like, okay, what do you want to know? And I'll tell you one guy, his name was Scar. I looked at him one day and I told him, you're going to die this week. And he said, come on, baby girl, don't say that, you know, because you know you be knowing stuff. I said, no, you're going to die and you're going to be killed. Someone's going to shoot you while you're trying to get through a gate. And he said, well, I'm not going outside this week. And I said, but it's going to keep coming until it gets you. So he just hugged me and said, all right, little girl, don't be telling me that kind of stuff. You scaring me. I said, it's no need to be scared. It's just going to happen. And what do you know? That week, Scar was murdered. And that continued to happen. Usually it comes to me in dreams. They're very vivid. As soon as I fall asleep, boom, I'm somewhere else. My grandma was walking me and I was holding her arm. She disappeared and we were on 55th Street in Oakland. I'm like, huh, what am I doing here in my pajamas? Next thing you know, a baby's crawling across the road, but its head is detached and it's saying mama to me. And I'm like, this is weird. I go into a house and these guys won't let me out and they kill someone, but I'm looking through a little slither in a closet. I leave and there's this blue pickup truck with a license plate. That's the only thing that's very vivid. So I keep repeating it to myself. And I wake up and I told my mom, someone's going to die. A baby's going to get hurt, but his head's off. And my mom was like, Nita, don't come in here with that mess. I need you to stop because you scared me. 6 in the morning, my mom always watched news. Then she comes in my room screaming, get your ass up. How the hell did you see that? And I was like, what? And she says, a grandmother's dead. Two girls are dead. A baby got shot in the ass. The daughter was on crack and they sprayed the whole house with a gun because they couldn't get their money. How in the hell did you know that? And I said, well, we should call the police because I have the license plate number and I know the car. She said, the hell you are? Uh-uh. How your little black ass, that's how she said it, gonna tell the police that you know all this? I said, God told me. She said, girl, please, you gonna go to jail. So she told me not to say anything, kept me home to make sure I didn't.
So now looking back, what do you think happened?
I think what happened after learning what I have from the Ryan Research Center is that you have this thing called remote viewing and out-of-body experience. And I really believe that's what happened because I was able to be there. And I say that because the license plate number ended up being the license plate number and the car. So it was verified later that they caught the people. And when they showed the picture and everything, I almost passed the hell out. And that's when I knew, I don't want this gift. So my great-grandmother told me that God would give it to somebody else. And she taught me how to pray it away, she called it. Don't worry, he give it to somebody else. You're not ready. And that's what I did. And nothing happened for a long time until I had my son, and then it all returned again.
What was the first thing that made you know that?
Oh, the first thing that made me know that is when I started breastfeeding, and I've had a severe postpartum depression. For some reason, that opened up a whole thing to where I went from not just knowing, but also being able to smell when things were going to happen. And then as the postpartum kind of died down and I got that under control, it leveled, but it stayed. And so that's what happened. And I moved here to North Carolina and met Dr. Duke. And she was the one that told me, you don't have postpartum depression anymore. That's been 5 years. You don't have manic depression. You don't have any of these issues. You have a gift. And that was my second time hearing somebody say that. First great-grandma, and then this doctor. So on the prescription pad, she wrote, you need to go to the Ryan Research Center. There's other people like you that have these unique gifts, so you can learn how to use them. Have a good day.
Anita took that advice from her doctor. It was 2007. She showed up at the Ryan Center and eventually got tested 2 years later. She participated in a number of experiments, and she told me that her results were strong, that they established for her that she truly had psychic abilities. Individual records at the Ryan Center are confidential, so I can't give you statistics or even her recorded results on those tests. But I do think that she was tested for remote viewing, and that she took an ESP test similar to classical parapsychology tests, known as the Ganzfeld experiment.
The Ganzfeld experiments are essentially a test of general ESP. We don't know if it's telepathy or clairvoyance or precognition, but what it involves is we take two people and we separate them in two different rooms. In one room, we have a person who is considered the receiver. They sit in a very comfortable chair in an isolated environment, and their eyes are covered, their ears have white noise playing in it, and they speak stream of consciousness about whatever comes to mind. In the other room, another shielded room, we have a second person called the sender. The sender is watching a video or an image of some sort and trying to send information to the receiver in the other room. What we have at the end is we have an image or a video that was being sent, and we have a transcript of what the person was saying during the experiment. We then try to match these things and see if there was any correlation between the two. This experiment has been done around the world in hundreds of laboratories and is the most replicated experiment in parapsychology. The way it's set up, you would typically expect people to get about 25%, one out of four targets correct. but people typically get about 32% accuracy, which might not seem like much, but 32% is 1 out of 3 instead of 1 out of 4. Because of the number of times it's been replicated, it's a strong demonstration that there is something going on in the Ganzfeld experiment demonstrating general ESP.
So tell me about your first experiences in Ryan, and I'm most interested in them setting up the testing and how that happened.
Yes, first experience there, I walk in and I'm thinking, I love movies, so the X-Men, the Xavier University, and I'm like, okay, who in here can do whatever, you know? And they're like, some people can bend spoons, some people predict numbers, some people do remote viewing, you know, they go through the list. And they said, we have a study coming up and you will actually look at a screen with static on it and you will either be able to see or hear what's going on. It's there, but nobody knows, but you can tell us by hitting the button when you see something. And I said, okay. So there's this room. You go in and you sit there. There's a computer screen, a mouse pad, and you just click on. Now, just imagine back in the day when TVs would just go and there's total static. That's all that's there, okay? There's other things that are showing behind the static that you don't see with the naked eye. Whenever you heard or saw something, you would just click. And so as I'm hitting those and clicking them, they're getting the signals in another room about if I'm hitting the mark. That's what they call them. And so once I got the results back, that's when they were able to say, huh, you hit most of the marks. And in fact, we haven't seen anybody test this high. We want to do more research with you. And so then you're put into a room for remote viewing. It's in an opposite room. You can't hear what's going on there or anything. You're given a blank piece of paper and a pencil. As it was coming, I could just see it. I saw a bird pop up. And I drew the bird. And I saw like some holly pop up, so I drew that. And I could see snow falling, and I felt cold. So I followed that and I put that down. And I wrote down happiness. I wrote down a window because I saw a window appear. And then they came out and said, what did you see? I shared what I saw. And they pulled out a greeting card. And it had a cardinal on it with holly, snow falling, and a window. And I'm like, whoa.
Did getting tested at Rhine, did that have an effect on how you thought of it, your abilities? You know, I mean, like, they are an institution that applies science to this, and it's not usually an area in which you would think that you can apply science to study.
Yes, it did have an effect on me. It made me take it more seriously and realize how special it is. If it wasn't for me meeting them, I wouldn't have honed this gift as much as I had it. I would have kept saying, oh, it was just a hunch, or maybe, you know, I just figured it out or whatever. I never would have known that I have this gift that I can actually develop and use it to help. You know, without them, I wouldn't have taken it as seriously. Like, there is a lot of responsibility that comes with it, and I want to use it to help people do whatever and get wherever they need to go, including myself. It's something, what I like is bridging that gap with science, because they have all of these different parameters and things to look at to see, can you guess the next number that's going to roll on the die, you know? And it shows that this isn't a fluke. This is something that's happening. Like, you're tuned into another frequency and you can use it in your life every day. My mama would say, you think you know everything, like you got a crystal ball. Turns out if she were alive, I actually do.
Let me finish up with something here. I have a lot of optimism for the field. There is a strong support for parapsychological research within the community, not necessarily within the academic community, but there are a lot of people in the world who are extremely excited that their personal experiences are being legitimized by people who have studied science and who are doing true scientific work. So this is one of the reasons that I believe the Rhine is an extremely important center and should be supported and should continue to exist within the world, which is why I'm here. So.
There aren't many places left in the U.S. like the Rhine Center, where people like Anita show up and get tested. There aren't a lot of places where anyone can get some kind of answer from researchers about their abilities. The Rhine Center is unique in that the results appear to carry the weight of science. Is that a good thing? I guess it depends. If there really is ESP, then places like the Rhine are the few remaining places bucking the trends of mainstream science to pursue the truth amidst institutionalized skepticism. However, if there really isn't ESP, then what's really going on in these labs? And why does it appear so strongly to researchers over the past 80 years that it's there, it's real? I think I know what the answer is, but it's something subtle. And to find it, we have to go a lot deeper.
This episode of Here Be Monsters was produced by Barry Lamb, who makes a podcast called Hi-Fi Nation. And one thing you probably noticed is that this episode's ending is just a complete cop-out. And that's actually totally fine, because this episode is actually just an introduction to a big series that Barry has just put out on his own feed. It's about the problems of modern academia and the problems of an over-reliance on statistical significance. So if you're curious about these topics, which you should be, you really need to listen to the rest of Barry's series. It's called Hackademics, and it's on Hi-Fi Nation. That's hiphination.org. You can find a link to Hackademics and Hi-Fi Nation in our show notes. Now, when Barry isn't podcasting, he's a professor of philosophy at Vassar College, and he's also a visiting fellow at the Story Lab of Duke University. You can find out more about Barry's work over on our website, where you can also find pictures of the Rhine Center and a link to Anita Woodley's performance art. Our website is hbmpodcast.com. Our email address is hbmpodcast@gmail.com. My name is Jeff Entman, and I edited this episode with help from Bethany Denton. Our editor at KCRW is Nick White. Music on this episode came from The Black Spot, Sarocell, and Phantom Fauna. Here Be Monsters is a part of KCRW's independent producer project. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.